The Templar Order has been surrounded by myths and rumors since its inception. It has defended the Holy Land for centuries, although Saladin has now taken those lands. They've used their treasures well, lending money to the great and powerful to fund their wars and their palaces. And they have ever been the allies of King Philip of France. But now, he has turned his hand against them. The Church has turned its back on them. And worse, enemies are crawling from the darkness to beset them. Can the last remaining handful of Templars escape their enemies and keep the Templar treasures safe in Heirs to Heresy, the Chalice of Fear?
Hello, and welcome to episode 506 of the Cult of Tea and Dice. I'm Mordrigan, and I'll be your Grandmaster for tonight for Heirs to Heresy, the Battle of Castle Borlay, Session 1. Probably the only session. I've got players. They're called Archive.
Hello, I'm Archive, and I'm playing Sven Knutsen, who is a pious, focused knight.
And as yet, we don't know which force of the army he's commanding. And then we've got Loka.
I'm Loka Centaurus, and today, consciousness permitting, I will be playing George Grey, an English versatile and well-grounded knight.
Excellent. And also, he's going to be commanding a unit as well. And then we've got Hardwick.
Hello, I'm Hardwick, and I'm playing Heinrich Otto, who is a well-rounded and versatile German knight.
And you will be commanding not only a unit, but the army as well.
Yay.
Quick updating. And then finally, we've got Plot.
I'm Plot, and I'm playing Estienne de Charente, who's a well-rounded and versatile French knight.
And he also will be running a unit in this battle. Now, could somebody please explain what's going on and why there's a battle?
So we reached Gilles de Borlay's castle.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in and we spoke with them. Explained stuff that was going on, and it turns out that probably the one of the items that we were carting about, courtesy of the Grand Master of the Knights Templar, was it not in fact the Holy Grail? It was more a unholy grail.
Yeah, it's an evil grail,
which is highly desired by bad people, who coincidentally happen to appear. So, yes, the castle is, before the castle became under siege, there was an assassination attempt by two of the silent, shady dudes who have quite badly stabbed up Gilles de Borlay, and hence his non-appearance in this upcoming battle. Yes. We killed one, I think, and badly maimed another one, which had fled.
Yeah, I think you chucked one out of a window and the other one was unbelievably badly injured and then escaped out the window. I'd have to check.
Yeah, I thought we actually, like, flat out
I thought we killed one.
Yeah,
one's definitely dead. And maybe you killed one and the other one fell out of the window and you're not sure whether he's dead or not.
That was it, yeah, I think. Because, yeah, it was like, well, he's either dead or... is probably, I think he was really badly beat up before he fell out over a window.
Yeah, he was. Okay. And I can't remember. Have you talked to the people who are currently besieging the castle?
I believe there was some brief banding of words with the Inquisitor.
Yes, good. Perfect.
And, you know, we kind of figured there was about to be, well, a fight.
Well, yeah. The idea, well, first things first, let us go through the proper list. You talked with the Inquisitor and Ben Arm, who was there, and they revealed that they had taken Captain Mortier prisoner and her crew, and she was badly beaten in the back. When you retreated to the tower to talk some more with Borlay, you could hear them building something over in their camp, which is in the far west. Now, you're fairly sure they're not going to attack until the morning, although that's not very far away now. They're not going to attack you in the dark, although the assassins obviously did. And you think they were making some kind of siege engine, but it seems like they're not waiting for the siege engine to actually get ready to attack you. If I remember correctly, Gilles de Borlée had had told Percy that he should obey you, defend the castle, and make it so that you guys can get out. Gilles de Borlée has been carried off to the chapel by some of his servants by this point, so we've rolled forward a little while, and Percy has just got done telling you what troops you've got. Bear with me.
Some, like, escape passage or something as well, or is that just in my, like, mind?
He did mention that there is an escape passage in the east wall, but he didn't think it would be a good idea for you guys to use it while the castle was directly under attack. So his suggestion was, you fight them, and if you can beat them back, then you can escape while the rest of the troops hold the castle, so they think that you're still here. Because otherwise, they're going to set on you straight away.
I was more thinking it's not very heroic going, ah, look, we've just brought trouble to your doorstep. See ya.
Bye. Bye, guys. Bye. I mean, you could do that, but it would be a bit shit. Percy and you guys are up in the tower, and he's like, okay, so to give you an idea of the forces we've got, we have some longbowmen from England. They are very motivated. They came with Gilles de Borlée from the Holy Lands. They are ready and rearing to kill these guys who've assassinated our lord. This is an archer unit of strength 4. And it has a special ability because it's longbows. If it is placed in the tower, it can shoot up to 2 zones rather than having to shoot the nearby zone. So if it's in the tower, they can shoot all the way out to the walls.
Mm-hmm.
So that's worth bearing in mind. We've got crossbowmen. This is a strength 3 unit. Obviously, they can only shoot to adjacent areas. So if they're on the walls, they can shoot the moat or the courtyard. If they're in the tower, they can only shoot the courtyard. You've got the gate guards, who are heavily armoured, but they're not such a big unit. This is a 2-strength unit of normal troops. Then you have the wall guards, who are more numerous. That is a 3-strength unit. And finally, they have a very small unit of cavalry, which is a 2-strength unit of cavalry. Now, for those of you listening at home, the mass battle rules for Heirs to Heresy kind of abstract units, morale, strength, numbers, and equipment a little. But also, they abstract how good your army is in general down to your commander skills. Whether you're fortified, whether you're exhausted, whether you're against a hated foe, or so on and so forth. So, as Hardwick's character has the highest battle plus intellect, Sven will indeed be in charge, as he has a battle plus intellect of 5. They have been granted the fortification stonework bonus, so that gives them another 8 points, and everybody fucking hates these guys who've just killed Guy de Borlée. So they got a plus 1 for that, and I've taken it upon myself to split the units up for the players. So Percy's standing there and saying, so I think it would be useful if you Templars led some of the units as well. I'm happy to lead a unit, although I've only been in a few battles. I was successful in my battles. Effectively, Percy tells you he is a battle 1 leader. Perhaps you can tell me your levels of ability.
I have fought in several naval battles with pirates, Mediterranean, as well as undergoing Templar training. So I have a battle of 2.
Battle of 2 for STN.
I'm in the same boat as STN.
Battle of 2 for George.
Similar level of experience, but fewer boats.
Battle 2 for Archive. And Hardwick?
I'm on battle 3.
Okay. So, you have the map in front of you, I hope. You can choose who to lead each unit and where to put those units. Obviously, when 2 units clash, the side with the higher battle score deals more damage to the unit with the lower battle score than vice versa, obviously. Archers and crossbowmen don't tend to get injured if they're firing at people who aren't like right on top of them, so that's good. Hardwick, you'll be able to give out the special orders because you are the army general. But yeah, so what are you all thinking?
Well, I guess it kind of makes sense to stick the longbowmen in the tower, and then their two-zone thing means that they can kind of deal with whichever wall comes under attack.
Mm-hmm. But which Templar are you going to put in charge of the archers?
Well,
I
don't know if like telling Percy, right, you know, load to here and just, you know, tell your dudes, tell these guys to shoot however. Yeah. In terms of other stuff, can we stack multiple units in a zone?
Yes, you can. Oh, it's okay. Worth noting that the gate and drawbridge are in the west wall.
Yeah, the map kind of does show this. And since like it's got, you know, the enemy's camp is that way, I'm guessing that's probably where they're going to attack from.
Potentially.
With the main force.
Which direction were the siege engines in?
They're in the camp.
Okay. If we were to put the longbowmen on the west wall, I think, would they
be able
to...
can only shoot the west moat.
No.
They can only shoot two in the tower.
Yeah, that's true. They'd only be able to shoot the west moat or the courtyard because they have to be in the tower to shoot further. Because it's three stories high.
I thought they could just do two zones regardless. Never mind.
Otherwise, we'd be able to do cheeky things like just continuously shoot them while they're still in bed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's kind of the point of longbowmen, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So presumably we want the more heavily armoured and the cavalry.
The cavalry are probably best up in the courtyard because they can like effectively move extra zones, so they can go anywhere, so to speak.
Yeah.
So there's no point slamming them somewhere because then if they have to move to like the opposite side. Now, who wants to be in charge of like horses?
Well, sure, why not?
Okay, so that would be George.
Yay, horses. Horses with additional ability to stab.
And your battle too, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Where you're putting them in the courtyard to begin with, yeah?
Yeah, because it's one big zone, so then they can redeploy or go out as needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess we probably want to hold them back because they're not very big, and the cavalry rules seem to imply if you get charged by other people, it's bad news.
It is. Although, because cavalry make two moves and are then exhausted, if you move into contact with somebody, you're not exhausted when you hit them, so you don't take extra damage on that first move. So that's your charge move, basically. So you can either travel a great distance and then be exhausted, or move one zone, fight without being exhausted, and then fuck off. Okay, so did we decide to put Percy with the archers, or is somebody else going to take the archers?
I think we were telling Percy, because they're probably not really going to move anywhere, so... I guess it's probably the best place for him if he's not really battle experienced as well.
Battle Commander, do you concur?
Yeah, that seems sensible to me.
Okay, well that means you've got the crossbowmen, the wall guards and the gate guards to split out between yourself, STN, and Sven. You're Heinrich, aren't you, Hardwick?
I am.
I called you Sven earlier. But anyway, yes, Heinrich is in charge, so... Heinrich, Sven, and STN get one of the crossbowmen, the gate guards, or the wall. Bearing in mind that the higher your battle score, the more likely you are to do high damage against any enemies. From what you've seen of the King's men, they tend to not be particularly skilled at like war, but you do know that Ben Arm's out there, and he's one of the top knights in the kingdom. And Padre Franks is out there, and he was a bit nasty when you were fighting him earlier.
So what that suggests is that Heinrich should probably either take one of the bigger units, like either crossbowmen or the wall guards, maybe.
I would guess the wall guards as a.
Mm-hmm. You can do that if you want.
Yeah, sure.
Heinrich, battle 3, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, where are you putting the wall guards? On the wall? The west wall?
Let's see.
Bearing in mind, you know that the enemy is all starting in far west.
Yeah, does that seem sensible to everyone else that they start?
I was probably going to say that given everyone is allegedly starting in the far west, we whack everything on the west wall, and if they advance, then the archers could have a free shot, unless they like really go around the edge. But at that point, we should be able to redeploy in time.
Mm-hmm. So, which of your compatriots is getting the crossbowmen, Heinrich?
Crossbowmen. Sven, do you want to go with the crossbowmen?
Sure.
You're battle 2, aren't you?
Yeah.
I've popped them on the west wall as well, as that was your aim, which puts you, SDN, with the gate guard, yeah?
Yes.
And you're also battle 2.
Mm-hmm.
So you spend...
We're all just like battle 2 except Heinrich.
Percy's battle 1.
Yeah. Percy doesn't count.
He bloody does. If Catherine was with you, you'd have another... I think she might be battle 3. Check. No, she's battle 2 as well. So yeah, it would have been just everybody's battle 2. Oh no, wait. I might be reading. Oh no, she's battle 0. So yeah, you'd have been worse off. Right. Where am I? I'm just going to pull out the battle rules. Ready? So you spend the hours before dawn setting up your units, getting them into position. Effectively, you know what you need to do. You need to... It's not going to be a case of you beating their armies, but if you can throw them back in disarray today, you guys will be able to escape tonight and hold up the rest. The rest of the army will then hold them up, making them think that you're still there. Percy is actually... go on.
Sorry, we know where we're going. I know it's not relevant right now, but is that something that we discussed? I can't remember.
Avalon.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Because there's a dodgy library there, supposedly. So, so bear in mind, Army Commander, that you can only issue one order per round. What that means is if you decide to give your Army Commander orders, you can't then command the Wall Guard to do anything. But
right, okay. So, what do we just go? You know, one of ours, one of theirs.
It doesn't actually say, does it?
Well, it's not very clear.
I was guessing it'd probably be similar to, like, initiative.
Well, it says battle initiative.
You make a contested blood, the winner gets... You'd go for whoever's got initiative goes first.
Goes first.
So presumably it is a...
Oh, in issuing orders, each Templar leads unit into battle. After I've been issued, the turn is over and the opposing side may issue an order.
Yeah, so basically you get to go first and then it's back and forth, which means all of those dice I was digging out earlier, don't fucking need them now, do I? Never mind. Bear with me. I'm just getting back up to the top. So it's worth noting, though, Hardwick, that if you are giving like army commander orders, if the enemy moves on to you, your guys are still going to fight because clash involves both units. So you can hold positions with the wall guard very easily and still give other commands out to people. Okay, so at this point, we have to make a battlefield initiative test, which is an intellect plus battle test. Now, Ben-Arm is their leader. You, Heinrich, are your side's leader. I suspect you're going first, but it's possible you're not. So intellect plus battle plus 2d10, please.
Okay. That is that's an 11 on the dice, so that's a 16.
You're going first, which is possibly not the most useful to you at the moment, given most of them are out of range at this time. But if you wanted to, you could do a free action of like take a good look at one of the units. Or order your unit to fortify, I suppose. That would be useful.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to do quite a lot of scrolling.
Yeah, sorry about that. I've handily got a double page spread in front of me, otherwise I wouldn't be able to cope.
It's probably worth like one of us who's not likely to do much early on to like do something. So, for example, if we can like either start scoping out their units to try and determine out roughly how big they are,
mm-hmm.
or we could start doing, yeah, like I think fortify is probably...
Fortify is a good one. Fortify.
I don't know if it persists. I've read it.
It persists until the end of that round. I think it persists from round to round.
Well, it's like that, and then further down, the army commander one, like the give no quarter one, like doesn't look so sounds like it persists.
No,
but you can only do it once.
Yeah, the give no quarter persists until they
next
clash.
Time they clash.
Yeah,
and you can only do it once. So yeah. If you accidentally butcher some peasants, then mm-hmm. you really butcher them, but you might have wanted to save it for like.
So yeah, I think these orders.
Or whatever.
I think these orders persist until used or no longer valid. So if you fortify, that unit will be fortified until it moves out of that zone. Which for you guys is really useful because they're going to have to attack the wall.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'll get my unit to like fortify because I can't really do anything as much useful at the minute.
Okay.
And then we could see like if their dudes move and then either... People can potentially, like, maybe the crossbowmen can shoot them, or
mm-hmm.
we can, so they, if you know, if they start going around, people can either start moving or whatever.
So, SDM orders his men into the gatehouse, gets them into their positions. Can you remember that they're fortified in the west?
Oh, well, I should imagine I'm probably not going to start moving unless everyone decides. We'll avoid the West Wall entirely.
Well,
so, yeah.
You never know. So, SDN orders his men into the gatehouse. They get the oil on the bubble, as it were. The gate guard are now exhausted. Bear with me. I'm coming up with methods of keeping all of this in track at the moment. So, I've turned everybody sideways. The gate guard are now exhausted, so I've tapped them to use a completely different systems ideas. So over in the direction of the camp, you can see the sun is coming up. It's coming up behind you guys, so that's somewhat unfortunate because it means you're silhouetted. But it does mean that the sort of orange glowing light is casting down into their camps. You can see the Inquisitor is stalking about. He's got Morsriere and all of her crew sort of tied to these like hurdles, these wooden hurdles, and occasionally he's I don't want to say fondling them, but he's definitely doing something to them that looks unpleasant, and there's occasional screams. You can certainly see that they're putting together trebuchets and they're organizing their forces. And the first thing that happens is a large number of people in like sackcloth robes and like whipping themselves or hitting themselves with flails or tearing at their own skin, like rush straight forwards towards the gate. So the flagellants move from far west to west moat. Over to you guys. Incidentally, that does mean that they're in crossbow range, should you wish to do anything about that.
And longbow range, are they not?
No. They'd need to be in west wall to be in longbow range, because there's a courtyard.
Yeah, bollocks.
So, who's doing what?
I'm just thinking, is it worth, like, Percy effectively fuck all, because he's not likely to be able to... Actually, no. Potentially, you might have something to do if... those legendary dudes climb up on the wall super quick, but I don't know.
Is it worth them doing like spotting of units or something?
Yeah, for the moment, certainly. Do you want him to spot particular units, or do you want him just to give you a random unit?
Let's just have a look at the King's unit list.
I'm mostly asking Hardwick, because she's the one who'll be giving the order.
I guess probably the bodyguard unit.
Ben Arm's lot.
Yeah.
Okay. He's up there with some kind of strange Arabic device made out of brass and leather. He takes a good long look, and then he shouts down to you. In terms of size, the unit is probably about the same size as the cavalry. They're on foot, but they seem to be highly motivated because they are literally with the king's main bodyguard. Effectively, it is a strength 2 unit led by a battle 3 leader. And it is a legendary unit, which means technically it can make 2 actions a round. It's not exhausted after the first one, it is after the second. Percy is now exhausted. In the north, you see the survivors of Padre Frank's army who fought you move from far west to far north. Back to you guys. They're making a long sort of slog through the forest. You can still see them because they're only just the other side of the moat. But yeah, it doesn't. It looks like the reinforcements are going with them. Well, I say going with them. I mean, the reinforcements are behind them, pushing them forwards, because you get the impression that the survivors are not very pleased to have to face you guys again.
I'm trying to remember, there weren't that many survivors.
No. There was a bunch of people.
A few of them ran away.
But... yeah, a few of them ran away, and a few of them didn't ever get into the fight with you.
That would probably be the actual survivors, because yeah. Everyone else got absolutely mullered.
Exactly, and they turned up, and they looked around and went, fucking hell, we don't want to fight these people. Oh no, you're taking us to fight these people. No, thank you. So yeah, you get the impression maybe they're not so keen. Franks, incidentally, is with the follow-up unit that hasn't moved yet. So what are you doing?
Sven, is there anything you wanted to do with your crossbowmen?
You do have the flagellants in front of you.
Yeah. If we can hit those, it might not be a bad thing.
Yep. You absolutely can hit those. So you order your crossbowmen to start loading, and then you pop up over the crenellations and absolutely fill the flagellants full of arrows. Well, bolts in this case. You're much more skilled than they are in terms of battle. So you deal 2 damage to their army points. They would normally deal you with 1 damage, but you are doing this at ranged, so they can't touch you. And they are exhausted, so you do a further point of damage. That was withering fire. Sven, you and your guys, you pop up over the wall and you just fire bolt after bolt after bolt into the screaming religious nutbags. By the time you finish firing and drop back down, 3/4 of them are lying on the ground, riddled with crossbow bolts, looking exceedingly unhappy, exceedingly unwell. But your unit is now exhausted. In the north, the reinforcements move from far west to far north. So Padre Frank's 2 units are now north of the castle. We are back to you guys. And I believe you have either Heinrich or the cavalry to go.
I don't think the cavalry have much to do right now. So I don't know if there's a... No, because the only gate's on the western wall.
Yeah, I mean, these guys can probably climb over the wall slowly. It's not like they can't climb the wall. It's not like a 50-meter tall wall, remember?
No, but I want the wall guards to have a chance to thin the herd before I start going out there.
Yeah.
Some of these are commander only, aren't they?
Flanking maneuver, give no quarter, readable efforts, and surrender are the purview of Heinrich at this time.
Okay.
So are you going to let George go, Heinrich, or are you going to take an action?
I think Heinrich should go.
Oh, thanks.
I got nothing.
No, I'm just scrolling again. Bear with me.
It's all right.
Except I'm scrolling the wrong way. Right. If, for example, any unit comes into the West Wall and there's more than one unit in there to clash with, do they both have a go, or?
Well, you probably resolve it in the order you feel like.
Okay.
They're going to clash with everybody.
Yeah.
But as you might imagine, stacking units like that does mean that a single unit moving in there is going to get properly hurt.
Okay. I think for now, the wall guards will probably follow the gate guards and fortify in the west wall.
Uh-huh. Fortify west wall. Ben-Arm then starts doing things. The first thing he does is he turns to the king's men who are next to him and gives a small speech about how they should get in there and slaughter you all. He gives them the give no quarter order. Oh no, I'm an idiot. He talks to the crossbow men, not the. Oh wait, hang on. The problem with these troops is their battle scores are so low that that makes no sense. In which case, he will do something different. He shouts to the flagellants, "Get up there, you useless slackers!" And gives them the redouble efforts order. They are no longer exhausted. Ben-Arm has used his first legendary action. The cavalry is the only one of your lot left to go.
Given that the cavalry aren't really in a position to do anything unless they feel like being a bit suicidal and charging out, is there like somewhere that George could climb up and, you know, try and scope someone out?
Yeah,
like,
easily.
Unit composition.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is probably like something to do rather than do nothing effectively.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so I would effectively go up on like the west wall and go, there's the bugger we need to stab next turn.
Well, you already know about the bugger you need to stab next turn. It's Ben-Arm's unit, legendary unit, size 2, battle 3. But there's the king's men, the king's crossbow men, and the flagellants out there as well.
Mm. Yeah, I think looking that is going to have to be my...
Okay. Intellect.
Because we're doing stuff at unit scale, so it's not like I can just pop up and go, aha, crossbow.
No. Intellect awareness? Insight? No, it's intellect awareness. Just give me a quick roll.
Intellect awareness is a total of +6 plus the dice, which they say 13, so 19.
Okay, that's well enough. Were you looking at a unit in particular, or are you willing to take a rando?
Well, we kind of know that we just massacred 3/4 of the fledglings.
Yeah.
So what I'm guessing is they were like originally size 4 and now they're size 1.
Potentially.
So you probably want to, well, that or they're fucking huge, in which case we might have a bit of bad news coming our way.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, what I'd suggest is scope out one of the other units of your choice.
Kingsmen, King's Crossbowmen. You already know Ben-Arm's troops.
King's Crossbowmen.
Okay, that is a...
they got range.
It is a size 3 unit led by actually not a shit person. He seems to be equivalent to Percy.
He has a battle score, but it's...
it's 1.
Only a, yeah.
It's 1. Right, so at this point, it becomes the rest of Ben-Arm's army to act. Because he somewhat outnumbers you. So... the first thing that happens is the flagellants hurl themselves at the walls. They climb up and start attacking the walls, the gates, and everything. Hardwick, which unit would you like to fight first against the flagellants?
So that's out of the gate guard and the wall guard, is that right?
The gate guard, the wall guard, or the crossbowmen.
Right, okay.
I wouldn't suggest the crossbowmen. They're the only ones who aren't fortified.
They're exhausted, and they have crossbows.
Yeah.
You're not exhausted if the van has just reset.
It hasn't reset.
All right, sorry.
No, they haven't gone yet.
All three units are exhausted, but the two fortified ones can only take 1 damage maximum.
I'll go with the wall guard.
Okay, so the flagellants come over the walls, screaming at you and tearing at their flesh and rushing forwards, basically onto your swords. They do deal 1 damage to the wall guard. They are incredibly badly led. to the point that you would have utterly annihilated them if you'd have attacked them. It does not take you a very long time to horribly kill every last one of the flagellants. Way in the back, you can see the Inquisitor sort of giggling to himself, you assume. but yeah, so you would have taken 1 point of damage from fighting them, and 1 point of damage from fighting them when you are exhausted. But as you were in the fortify stance, you only take one damage. Okay?
Okay.
The King's men then move forward into West Moat. The King's crossbowmen then move forward into West Moat. Then Ben-Arm once again gives the redouble efforts order, and the King's crossbowmen clash with your crossbowmen. Sven, you're watching as these crossbowmen run forward, and you're expecting them to sort of go to ground in the trees opposite the moat. They obviously wanted to do that, but you can hear Ben-Arm's voice behind them shouting, "Go on, kill them now! Kill them immediately!" And they actually pop up out of cover and start firing at your men. What is your battle score, please?
Mine is two.
It's the universal two.
It's the universal two. So you have higher than them. So you would deal two to them if they weren't clashing you at range. But that is it as it is. They only deal you 1 point of damage because they are lower down than you. They have a battle score of one, so they do deal you some damage, but it's not as bad as it could have been. You take 2 points of damage, don't you? Shit. You take 2 points of damage because your unit is also exhausted. So the crossbowmen come under fire, Hardwick, further down the wall. And a few of them die, and a lot of them seem a bit shaken. The crossbowmen is now down to, currently, one army point, as it comes under a withering fire. Just to send you a picture. I will just send you a picture. There you go. So, the round resets. All of your troops are no longer exhausted. You have the cavalry in the courtyard, the archery and archers in the towers. Nobody's on the walls yet. You have Padre Frank's two units in the north. The King's men and the King's crossbowmen are in the west moat. And Ben-Arm is still back in the far west, shouting orders like a much more modern general, shall we say. So, Hardwick, you have the battlefield initiative. What orders are you giving?
I'm hoping you're pouring tea and not taking a whiz.
You are indeed correct. I am desperately in need of tea because I can't breathe. But yeah, so your crossbowmen are looking very shaken. They seem like they're not... The problem was they fired all their shots off to... They did a very good job on the flagellants, but you think that maybe getting shot up directly after that has shaken their morale somewhat. But it's up to you whether you want them to act first, or if you're going to do something with somebody else, or if somebody else has any ideas. Obviously,
I do have a sort of cheeky idea. So the reform skill would probably get the crossbowmen back up to like max strength.
Yes, it would.
But that I don't know. But then they'd be exhausted again, which probably means if they get shot again, they'll be back where they were. But it means it'll stop them getting wiped out if they get shot at.
I draw Hardwick's attention to what Ben-Arm just did, which is the redouble efforts order.
That loses an army point, though.
Oh, yes, it does, doesn't it? I missed that bit. I better reduce their army points by one, which technically means the flagellants probably exploded themselves all over the wall guard. I'm going to go ahead and give the wall guard back 1 point because Ben-Arm didn't realise they'd explode.
And actually, looking at the numbers there, our crossbowmen could then wipe out their crossbowmen because if they're now size two and we've got higher battle, we could get the crossbowmen to annihilate their crossbowmen.
You absolutely could.
And then later on, Hardwick can
reform.
yeah, give him another action to heal back up, or, you know, we could see how the situation develops. But it basically takes their ranged unit off the field.
Well, bear in mind, redouble effort costs an army point the moment you give the order. So if you give it to the crossbowmen at the moment, they'd explode. They can still shoot. They could kill the king's crossbowmen for you.
Yeah, I mean, because we've got two other units on the wall, and we can nominate who receives the brunt of whatever comes over. So it would make sense.
Yeah, it's probably best if we do that then.
Because otherwise, the king's crossbowmen are going to get to shoot someone again before we probably wipe them out.
Okay, so I'm guessing you start shouting over to Sven to get his men in order.
Yeah.
Sven, you can see Heinrich waving at you to try and get your men back in order and up and fighting.
Okay.
Who are you shooting at? I'm fairly certain I know, but...
Who's the crossbowmen? Crossbowmen, yeah. I'm just getting confused by the map. I'm like, yeah, I don't know.
It's not the easiest, because I had a plan that involved like an electronic copy of this map with like little moving things, and that didn't happen, unfortunately. You get your men together and give a small rousing speech and get them up and firing. The King's Crossbowmen are not expecting a unit that they've just filled full of arrows to jump up out of nowhere and fucking annihilate them. You have a much higher battle skill than their leader, so you deal them 2 points of damage, which is enough to take them off the field. You can hear Ben Arm in the background getting very, very cross. However, he gets a lot less cross when Padre Frank's survivors move on to the north wall. So you now have the survivors on the north wall, the gate guard and the wall guard are on the west wall. I'm talking rubbish. The survivors move into the north moat, don't they?
I was about to say, they've done some impressive movement if they've gone onto the wall.
Yes. They move into the moat. Sorry, not the wall. The survivors move forward. Over to you again, Hardwick.
Okay. So who else have we got in the west wall at the minute? We've got the king's men, haven't we?
On the west moat, you've got the king's men, yeah.
Right, okay.
It does look like they're eyeing up a rush across the moat and a scale up the wall.
I get the feeling from what we've already done that it's better to be attacking than just fortifying all the time. So
it does seem like getting to grips with the enemy when you're more skilled than them is a benefit, certainly.
The slight issue is that if we go out, then that legendary unit, which is quite scary, can attack twice.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a risk.
I don't know. We want to wait for them, do we?
Well, I suspect is going to happen is that the guys in the north, well, one's moved into the boat, so they're probably going to go to like the north wall next go, at which point we could like potentially shoot them with the archers from the tower. And then the reinforcement one won't get wiped out because Percy's only battle one, but potentially the cavalry could somehow mount the wall. But anyway,
remember that the wall covers not just the wall, but the area behind the wall.
If the cavalry attack, assuming that the survivors get drilled down by the archers, then the reinforcements could get killed off by the cavalry with no cost to the cavalry. Or do they take the damage?
You'll still take one point of damage.
But you know, probably they'll be in a safe position in that they won't be able to get attacked, depending on what the legendary guy does. So I don't know if the cavalry want to do another scope out thing and, well, who is left to work out what they've got? The king's normal dudes, since his ex-bowmen are dead now, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's it. The men at arms.
Yeah.
So who's doing what?
I think we were trying to designate one of the guys in the back to do that. So either Percy or George.
So Percy's, having a look at a unit?
Okay. Yes, please.
He goes, there's a lot of men. They They're kind of moving in a mob. He rolled stunningly poorly.
Oh dear.
Like, proper poorly. Right, at this point, Padre Franks, you'd... Ben-Arm starts shouting to Padre Franks and gives him an order. Padre Franks' men rush forward and mount the north wall. They are on the wall.
Okay.
Over to you, Heinrich, SDN, or George? Ben-Arm is shouting something about money and not getting paid. It seems to have made the Padre Franks' reinforcements motivated to get up on the wall as quickly as possible.
That would probably do it. Mm-hmm.
You currently have the wall guard, the gate guard, and the cavalry free to use. And, of course, your army commander action.
Okay, did we want to position the cavalry, or the other option is attack out the west to the king's...
If the king's men haven't mounted the wall yet, then remote stabby seems like a good plan.
You have no remote stabby left. The crossbow men have already fired, and if you give them the redouble efforts order, they will die. And the archers have scoped out a unit for you.
Okay.
Just got a question.
Mm-hmm.
So cavalry don't exhaust after doing a manoeuvre, so they can effectively move twice.
Yep.
So could the cavalry move onto the north wall?
Yep.
And that causes a fight?
It does.
Then can they, like, withdraw with their second move?
They could, yes. Because they only become exhausted after the second move as well. So moving on to the north wall would make them quite effective.
That seems like a potential good action, because if there's not many survivors left, then they probably can't get given a second order to get out of the moat and onto the wall without, like, annihilating themselves.
You're mixing the survivors and the reinforcements up.
Yeah, but no, the reinforcements are on the north wall.
Yes.
But in theory, because they're now exhausted...
Yes,
if the cavalry attack them...
It's going to be bad for the reinforcements, yes.
Yes.
That sounds like a plan.
And then the cavalry can scoot back into the courtyard to try and recover a bit afterwards.
So high-speed drive-by stabby.
Yes, basically.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, Heinrich, you shout over to George, and George, you lead the cavalry round.
This is going to go so hilariously
wrong. You go round towards the north wall, obviously you've got like the commissary building and the barracks there and the stables. So there's actually only really like a little alleyway down the back there. And you can see Padre Franks is ordering his men down into that gap and getting them ready to spread out as you round the corner with three other cavalrymen and just charge into them. What is your battle?
My battle is two?
Right. This proves problematic. You dive into the fight. hacking and slashing around you. You smash down the first few of the enemy's men with great ease. They are exhausted. So they are both going to... They are going to take 2 points of damage from you, and then a further point from the fact that they are already exhausted. Unfortunately, your battle score and Patrick Franks' battle score is equal. So as you ride in, his men mob your horses and drag you and your men from your horses. You're fighting hand-to-hand with Padre Franks for a short amount of time. Behind you, you can hear your troops being clubbed to death, having been dragged from their horses. However, you are able to turn, and with a big sweeping arc of your broadsword, you take the heads off the guys who are just finishing off your men. Seeing you turn back towards him, Padre Franks realizes discretion is the better part of valor and hops back over the wall. The cavalry is destroyed. So are the reinforcements.
That's not quite the way I thought it was going to go. But I didn't know how it works with ties.
They have equal battle scores, so they're both the highest.
Oh. But
as it is, you took out that enemy.
So just to confirm, it's the reinforcements and not the survivors?
The reinforcements are now deceased.
Right, okay.
But sadly, so is your cavalry. George is still alive. So, George, you could redeploy yourself and take over for at the archers if you wanted. But, yeah, unfortunately, the cavalry that was with him got mobbed by the mercenaries.
Okay, that just, well, I know, it's probably a niche thing for the bulls anyway. It just seems a bit odd.
Well, I think it basically comes down to, it seems Padre Franks is a very skilled leader.
Oh, yeah, I get that they're equal, but it's, you know, if you'd have said it's, they take one apiece and then the exhausted guy takes one, or rather than they've both got the equal highest, because it's, or you get massive casualties. But it does say what happens in the event of a tie. So I was assuming that a tie was, well, you have a bit of a desultory one apiece.
I'll tell you what, George, are you willing to spend a faith point?
Let me check whether or not my single faith point is currently unoccupied. It is not.
Oh.
Okay. I thought we did some praying while we were...
I could have sworn you did.
Did we?
Yeah, we did some praying in the keep because we were like, yay, thank fuck, we made it.
In that case, it is unoccupied. What do you want?
Okay, if you spend the faith point, I will allow the cavalry to still have 1 point left.
Yeah, all right, let's go with that.
Okay, the cavalry is currently then on the north wall. There's just you and a guy now, I should point out. Do you want to retreat back to the courtyard?
Yes.
Okay. You have retreated back to the courtyard. Going forwards then, draws... I've added that to the rule book so that going forwards, that is the rule we will now use.
I figured it's probably unlikely to occur again after this session unless something goes...
But who knows? Right, so at this point, the archers have gone, the cavalry have gone, the crossbowmen have gone, Ben-Arm's gone once. The king's men assault the wall.
Rude.
Who's fighting them, Heinrich? Is it the gate guard or the wall guard?
So the gate guard did it before. The wall guard did it before.
They are still fortified,
they did,
yes.
But I thought you said that due to the fact that the Fledgelants effectively annihilated themselves, there wasn't really any damage done to the wall.
There wasn't.
Okay, so you could take your pick, but since you are the like high battle person, you'll probably do better than I will.
But it does mean that you will both end up exhausted, and therefore Heinrich wouldn't be able to give any orders to anybody else.
That's true. I guess the gate guard will leap into the fray.
Fair enough. The gate guard rushes forward to engage with the king's men, who are basically giving each other legs up to get on the top of the wall. Your battle is two, I believe.
Yeah, I think we're in that fun draw situation again.
You are not. Okay. They move and exhaust themselves as they get there. You have a battle of two. They have a battle of zero, which means they take two damage from fighting you, and you take one damage, which is the maximum point number of damages that you can take because you're fortified. Then they take a further point of damage because they're exhausted. The king's men flee backwards from the wall in complete disarray. You get the impression it's not going particularly well for Ben-Arm today. He starts giving orders to his own unit. You don't know what orders he gives. He is now done. The wall guard are the last people to go.
Okay, and we have the king's men of...
The left. King's men are gone.
We've literally got the bodyguard left and the survivors in the north moat.
Okay.
It's not gone well for the king's men, let's put it this way. Maybe they need some leaders with battle scores.
Out of what we've got, I would probably say a give no quarter to your own unit, who's probably going to be the poor suckers who are going to be best placed to fight the bodyguard. Because everyone else is either a bit beat up or needs to do a reform action, basically, or isn't in a position to be given another order without dying.
Mm-hmm. Well, the archers.
Yeah, but it's not like they can... There's no point giving them another round of this. this thing, because I can't shoot anyone.
Nope.
The only other question I've got is, can we like attack the siege engine?
Not from where you are. None of your people has the range to do it. You'd have to go there to the camp.
All right, okay. Yeah, so I guess the only sensible thing to do is the give no quarter action.
Okay, a GNQ on your own unit. Okay, so at this point, we reach the end of the round again. The survivors are in the north moat. Ben-Arm is in the far west. Your three units are on the west wall. The cavalry is in the courtyard, and the archers are in the tower. It's you lot to go first. Currently, everybody's kind of out of range, though.
Well, we've got this weird like unit disparity thing.
You do now.
So, what I would probably suggest is that George does a reform to get somehow get some more dudes out from the keep and onto horseback, and that way his unit will survive if it has another fight, potentially, unless it gets
same could be said
bodyguard.
Of Sven.
Yes, but I'm hoping that Bernard's guys are going to do some movement, which helps us determine where they might end up, so potentially thus being able to shoot them.
As with cavalry to begin with?
Well, he's size 2 and is now size 1. Or maybe size barely 1, but you know.
Size 1-ish.
You regain army points equal to the unit commander's battles. I'm assuming that's me.
Yeah, so the most you could give them would be 2 points, but they can only go up to 1.
Got 2 or whatever, yeah.
Okay, so you spend some time like grabbing the horses that have run off and ordering a couple of spare men-at-arms onto the top of them. Ben-Arm's men, they psych themselves up. And then they flank charge onto the west wall.
Rude.
Yeah. This is their first action of the round, which I believe means they do not exhaust. So, he rushes the wall. Which unit of your units is going to meet Ben-Arm?
I think we nominate the commander's unit, because anyone else gets annihilated.
Probably.
The wall guards.
Okay, so you can see Ben-Arm and a unit of heavily armored knights basically running full pelt towards the wall. They've got like big staves with them, and as they reach the moat, they slam the staves in and literally pole vault across the moat and onto the wall. You guys are fortified. You are glad that you are fortified, because if you hadn't been fortified, it wouldn't matter that this is a draw, because you would still be taking damage equal to Ben-Arm's battle score, which would have been very, very bad for you. However, what actually happens is it's a draw. So technically speaking, both units take 1 point of damage. However, your unit is under the effects of a give no quarter. Ben-Arm's unit is also, but can't give you more than 1 damage because you're fortified. You are ready for him. He comes running up. They vault up to the wall. They land with their swords out. Your unit, which has been tucked in behind the crenellations, just leaps up and starts smashing and pummeling them back over the fortification side. You told your men to give no quarter, and they live up to that order. In pretty short order, Ben-Arm and his men are thrown back into the moat, and that unit is destroyed. You can see him and his knights fleeing back towards the camp. The survivors, who are sort of stood trying to cross the north moat, half of them just turn and run immediately, and the other half realize that discretion is very much the better part of valor here, and they start falling back to the camp as well. You can see the king's men streaming back to their camp in dribs and drabs. This has certainly not gone well for them, and that is a testament to the battle training of the Templars. All around Castle Borlée, you can hear cheering and the people on your side shouting insults at the fleeing Ben-Arm. Over in the camp, however, You can see Swainson, the Inquisitor, seems to be quite cross. When Ben-Arm comes back into the camp, you can't hear what's being said, but you can hear the Inquisitor shouting at him. And then the Inquisitor turns around and plunges a knife into Captain Mortier's chest. You hear a woman scream, and then it's cut off. Percy comes down out of the tower. Well, I don't think they'll come back very quickly. Well done. I was pleased to be fighting on your side, let's say. We should probably make moves to get you out of the east wall.
Understood.
He leads you over to the east wall and just sort of by where the huge pile of hay is. He goes over to the wall and he presses in a whole brick and it reaches inside. You can hear him pulling on a chain, and he sort of pulls on this chain for a little while, and slowly part of the wall just sort of angles out. You wouldn't have spotted it if he hadn't been there to show you it. And he says, if you leave this way and then turn to your right, there's a series of hidden stepping stones under the surface of the moat, and that'll get you over to the other side. I know this is an imposition, but is there any way you could leave one of your Templar surpluses, the white?
Yeah, I guess so.
Good, because that will allow me to pretend to be you tomorrow when they come back. Good luck. I hope we can buy you enough time.
And good luck to you.
Yes, I think that you will probably come back with greater force. They might have finished their trebuchets by tomorrow, so it could go badly for us. But we'll give you as much time as we can possibly manage, and then worst comes to worst, we can always fall back to the tower.
Well, thank you, Percy.
It is entirely my pleasure. And with that, I take it the Templars head off into the distance, heading towards Avalon with their bag of relics and such. That is where we're going to end for the evening. Thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to. It's been a bit different. We haven't run these battle rules before, have we? So how did people find them?
They're certainly different.
That is one way of putting it.
I think that they're like a bit vague, but I think it's something that it doesn't really expect to come up too often, so it's not really a big issue.
No.
I feel like, it might have been nice to have like more roles or something, or more randomness as outcomes. But
yeah, I think
how it goes.
I think the idea here is that it's more done at the strategic level. So you kind of, by sorting out who's leading what units and how large those units are, it seems that that decides how the battle's going to go rather than what you're doing in it. I mean, you guys were slightly outnumbered to begin with. In terms of just brute force numbers, they were four times your size, which is why they had more army points to spend. But they're badly led. And being badly led, it turns out, is really bad in this system.
I think it's okay when the sort of forces are sort of even in some regards. But I think if you have, like, it gets skewed too much, like one side has a lot more units or just as flat-out better stuff across the board, it's probably a bit one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless there's like something else, like, this one side has to press and the other one can't just sit and chill effectively.
Yeah.
But, that's like medieval warfare, isn't it? If you haven't got the advantage, you're going to say, fuck it, we'll just have a war of manoeuvre where everyone goes, nah, I don't like it here. Just keep going about and trying to find a battlefield that favours you and not them.
But that is indeed the problem that the Kingsmen had here, in that they had to get in the damn castle, and that's fucking difficult in the medieval time if you don't have trebuchets. What they should have done is listen to Ben-Arm and wait until they had trebuchets. But it turns out the Inquisitor didn't want to wait. Yeah. But anyway, thank you very much for listening. We hope you've enjoyed what you've been listening to. If you have, then please do feel free to leave us your iTunes reviews, your Podchaser reviews, your Podbean reviews. You can talk to us at thecultsoftandice.net or thecultsoftandice@gmail.com. This is Heirs to Heresy. It's available from Osprey Games. Please go and give them a look. Thank you very much, and goodbye. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.